that band called Mr. Twin Sister. Name of that song is Polvo. 8:33 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show. Thursday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. And we are delighted, as always, each and every Thursday, we speak to our mayor, the Honorable Bob Whalen steps in. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. How are you today?
Good morning, Ed. I'm doing great.
Great.
Good to be here.
It's great.
Been, always good to spend a few minutes with you here.
Thank you, sir. It's going to be a great day today, though it's a little gray outside. I'm starting to see the sun peek through, so we'll have another one of those beautiful Laguna days. It seems like fall is just starting, though. Doesn't it feel kind of fall-like this morning?
It does a little bit. I love fall. I think it's just the most beautiful time of year. You get that beautiful sun, but a little Christmas in the air. I think it's some of our best seasons.
Right, right. And speaking of seasons, I'm going to ask you this question first. Could it be that by next summer, the city is in control of our south beaches that are now controlled by the county? Or are we in discussions with the county about that?
Yeah, we've been in discussions with the county. I had a meeting with the supervisor and head of OC Parks and some others about 10 days ago, maybe. And staff's got a follow-up meeting to get sort of get into the details of the negotiation. During the pandemic, it became clear that to me that it was a challenge having, you know, our marine safety guys running everything from Aliso north and the county running it south. We had a great working relationship with the county, but I think the level of service we can provide is just better than the contract work hires that the county does. So yeah, it's a complicated issue in terms of trying to get a revenue neutral solution. You know, we'd be taking over some costs, the county would be giving up some obligations, but we're gonna work hard to see if we can get it, and then we'll from our police, our fire, our marine safety, we'd have full control of the South County beaches. So we're working towards that.
All right.
I hope.
All right. And in these negotiations, I have a couple of questions about them. Is there a ballpark figure of what it would cost us annually to take control?
Yeah, rough cost estimate that staff's worked up. I think they're still refining it. It would be like $2 million a year to take over full lifeguard services. There would be some offsetting revenue if you take over the parking, obviously, at Aliso Beach. There is revenue from that. There's some cost of maintenance as well. But it's a significant number. So that's why part of what we want to talk with the county about is, how do we find a revenue neutral solution here, meaning, the county needs to send some money our direction so that they're not losing money at our but they're it's just a neutral sort of transfer. So that's our goal. A couple million a year, I think.
Right. And in your mind, as you envision the city taking over the South Beaches, once we do, would we look at maybe some, as we've spoken about before, maybe some security cameras so we can catch vandals in the act or taggers in the act or that type of thing?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, there has been discussion of some cameras down there. I'm not 100% up to date as to whether one or two of them went in, but I think our marine safety people would take a full look at it along with our police and say, okay, here's the optimal, security features down there. So it's been better this summer. Really has. Thank goodness it hasn't been as crazy as last summer. Fewer helicopter pickups of people who have, broken their bodies by doing, dumb things. So that's been good. We've put in a lot more effort. Our marine safety guys have done a great job to put some effort in coordinating with the county down there and, talking a lot more about approach and so on. So that's helped, but I think the ultimate solution, and we're not a big city. We're one city. We ought to be providing that service throughout our community.
Right. And so not only are you in discussions with the county, but you're also in discussions with the state and trying to get a piece of this $1.5 billion wildfire. We're trying to get funding from the state to help us with our wildfires, correct? Or the possibility of that.
Right. What we want to do is, obviously there's huge demand throughout the state, but there's $1.5 billion. That's a big number in the state budget now for wildfire, battling wildfire. Some of us is fighting wildfires, but there are portions of that funding that are for mitigation efforts. So, you know, as you know, we've done a lot of things. We've put in, installed backup generators at, you know, utilities. We've done more fuel modification. We've gotten some state money in the past to do that. You know, there's the undergrounding of choke points where Bluebird Canyon and Park Avenue that we've now got underway. So, yeah, we're pressing hard to get some more of that money for our community to, you know, continue to implement the wildfire mitigation safety plan. It's, you know, we haven't had fires down south very much here. Obviously, the focus has been up north and some devastating fires. And now it's just heartbreaking to see that there's one that's threatening the giant sequoias. But, you know, October, November, I'm fearful that, you know, Southern California is going to get its, you know, usual course of fires. So we just have to, you know, we just have to keep plugging away and looking for outside grants and trying to improve the fire safety in our community. It's a never ending task. It's not one you check off the list. It's one you just keep chipping away at and working at.
Exactly. Exactly. Well put. And when you think about it, when you see the devastation up north, you realize it can happen anywhere, and it happens in a flash. And it, yeah. So definitely a concern. And how do you have a specific amount that you would ask the state for?
You know, I don't have a specific amount. I mean, we're coming up. The way the state works for grants, and I've asked the fire chief and staff to work on it, we got to come up with specific projects like we have in the past. We did more fuel modification in Laguna Canyon. That was a couple million. We did $1 million of fuel modification up on Park Avenue, $1 million, I think, in South Laguna. So, you know, so I've asked them to, you know, come up with specific projects that we can then present, you know, backup generators kind of thing in case the one thing that happened in 93, people will remember, but, you know, when the power went out, the water pumps, stopped working. So, creating all that redundancy that we got to make sure that we have. So we'll get a specific list of projects. Maybe in a couple weeks here, a few weeks, I can give you a number.
Okay. All right. And this coming Tuesday night, the council is back in session this Tuesday night after a couple of weeks. Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking about defensible space.
Yeah, so on the fire theme, and this one's obviously got a little bit of controversy to it. We've heard this once before. Council sent it off with the fire department to do some more work on it and to have a community session, which they did, to gather input. I think there's clearly a concern that defensible space means I'm going to have to cut down, you know, all my trees and all my greenery, which is not the case. But what I think people need to understand is there is already, it's gone into effect, a state defensible space set of rules and guidelines. If we don't adopt local rules and guidelines that do something different by January 1, then by default, the state rules take over. And I can tell you, those are much more draconian than the rules that our fire department are proposing for Laguna. It's a tough challenge. I mean, we've been growing, you know, beautiful, lush landscapes here for, you know, almost over 100 years now. You know, if you go back to 1915, when the artists started first showing up and planting, even earlier, I guess, in some parts of town with eucalyptus. But so it's a shock to the system, but we're going to have to come up with, you know, defensible space guidelines that provide fire safety, but, you know, create a balance. So it's a challenge. I think our fire department guys have been working really hard on it. We'll get more input Tuesday night and see where we go.
And can we get in under the wire before January?
Oh, yeah. I think we have to. Otherwise, you know, it will be the state set of rules that nobody, I think everybody recognizes would be, have a major impact on.
I think you used the right term in draconian. I think you did. I think that's the right term. If in fact the state, if in fact it is the state's rules we have to play by, they would be much more draconian, I'm sure.
But it's important, you know, we just have to, you know, we just talked about it. I mean, we just all have to face the fact that we have to do smart things to harden our structures and, you know, make our community safer from fire. It's just, you know, you can't just wish it away. You have to compromise some things to create fire safety. I think people would much rather have a home in the long run than and give up a, you know, some of their landscaping if that would help do the trick. But so anyway, that's going to be a good discussion Tuesday.
Okay. And are we also covering Laguna Canyon Road this Tuesday?
Yeah, we've got an item that I'm bringing back. You know, we've been working on Laguna Canyon Road since 2013 when I put together that Laguna Canyon Road Task Force. But the council has taken a number of actions. In 2019, we kicked off a cost-benefit study to see whether it made sense for the city to take over the road from Caltrans so we could have greater control of, you know, the improvements that go onto the road, you know, the safety elements of it, the crosswalks where we want them, traffic lights where we want them, speed limits that we want. And then COVID hit, and that all sort of got put off to the side. But, you know, we're bringing it back, and recommended actions will be, you know, for council direct staff to move forward to finalize what's called, it's sort of the first step of many steps, but it's called a project study report. So you have to go to Caltrans with a project study report that sort of discusses the conceptual thoughts you have for the roadway. And basically what we're looking at is three elements, pedestrian, bicycle lanes, and then a reversible high occupancy vehicle lane where you'd have going outbound in the morning and inbound in the evening, which has been, you know, utilized elsewhere in different parts of the country. So the item will be, should we move ahead to finalize that project study report and start negotiations with Caltrans over ultimately taking over the road and putting it in city control. So there's a theme here you can see, Ed. I'm kind of liking city control.
And that's a fine theme. And thank you for following that theme. Mayor Whalen, coming back Tuesday night after 3 weeks, do you feel well rested? Do you feel like you're ready for another few sessions in a row?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready for a few more rounds. I can go.
All right, good. And we'll get you there. We'll get you there with a little Rolling Stone strut. It'll be good. It'll be good to instruct you the night of October 14th during the Taste of Laguna. As always, sir, thank you for being here on Thursday morning. We'll look forward to seeing you Tuesday night at the meeting. And how about you and I do a little Mick Jagger strutting here as we leave?
You got it.
All right, Rolling Stones Honky Tonk Woman. Thank you very much, Mayor Whalen. It's the Mornings with Ed show, 8:46 the time. Stay on the line, Mr. Mayor.
I met a gentle ballroom queen.